Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Well, good evening and welcome to Breaking the Silence, live from the most beautiful city in the world, Houston, Texas. And it's just great to have you with us for this next hour. And I really believe tonight's the night you want to text some of your friends and say, hey, you want to listen to the show this evening and invite them to just tune in. And we're going to have a great guest here coming up. I want to let you know we have, first of all, the response that we got from Dr. Bruce Perry last week was just wonderful. Thank you. And just keep sending those emails and texts. And we'll try to get all that stuff that you need to work with and help with back to you as quick as we can. But just thank you for the time of being with us and joining us last week. And I'm glad you all enjoyed the show. Next week, I have two fantastic people that are from South Carolina. And I have recently got certified to be the CME provider for the medical doctors in sex trafficking, human trafficking. And they're the ones that have that certification course. And they also run Lighthouse for Life in South Carolina. And next week's guests are going to be Vicki Jackson and Jen Thompson. And we're just going to have a whole hour on that subject that is really, really, especially in big cities, but even in the rural cities right now, it's running rampant across our country. Human trafficking, and we're going to talk about how to notice it, how to recognize it, how to stop it, how to get involved, how to help people that's involved in it to get them out of it, and just some of the aftermath with that. So that'll be the CEO and the president of Lighthouse for Life from South Carolina will be with us next week, and then her coordinator and her person in charge of education, Vicki Jackson. That'll be next week. As we go into a Thanksgiving season, I wrote down some things that I just kind of want to throw out at you before we have our guest on this evening. But, you know, we're going into a week that should be bringing up gratitude in all of us. And it's sad that we have to have a Hallmark moment in time for our calendar year. But every now and then, I think it's just good to kind of take us and rattle our cage and say, hey, wait, stop, pause, and remember that we have always have something to be thankful for. And I think gratitude has an amazing ability to shift your mindset in your whole being. So as we go into tomorrow being the week of Thanksgiving and then Thursday being Thanksgiving, you may not be able to get with your family this week. I think the CDC and everybody's kind of saying different things about Thanksgiving, but I want to just let you know that there's some things that you can always be grateful about, and you need to shift your mind to those things that we were thankful for. And I think one of the things, and maybe our guests and I will be able to help you on this, I don't know if you've ever done this, but you don't have to create a whole gratitude journal, but maybe just grab a piece of paper, a notepad, and maybe every day at the beginning of your day, mid part of your day, or at the end of your day, just write down a couple things that you're thankful for, that you're glad that you have in your life. You may be able to look around your home. You may be able to look at your kids, look at your job. Look at the food that you have available to you. be able to understand just how blessed we really are. Even though our country has problems, our world has problems, I want to let you know there's always something to be thankful for. And don't forget that this week. Really focus in on that. And I think just writing those things down will help you. And then another thing is go out and tell somebody why you're thankful for them. And maybe write a thank you note. Maybe go by their a desk and put a sticky note on their desk. Say, hey, I just appreciate you. Something like that, or send them a note. You know, the old fashioned where you lick a stamp and stick it in the corner and mail it still works. The United States Postal Service is still in business. And it's awesome to be able to get a thank you note that's been personally handwritten by somebody that really appreciates you. So take time to do that this week. Write some thank you notes. And I wrote down this this quote that I saw over the weekend. And this is really good. And then I'll get to our guest. But it is impossible to feel grateful and depressed at the same time. So if you're going through anxiety, if you're going through depression, if you're going through low times, it's impossible for that mind and that heart to possess both of those feelings at the same time. Gratitude and depression can't exist in the same mind at the same time. So remember that. So I just hope and pray that you have an awesome Thanksgiving week. And just remember to be thankful for something. We always have something to be thankful for. Tonight, I am so excited. I'm just pumped up to have our guest with us from North Carolina. And this is a friend of mine that I consider a friend. I don't know if she considers me her friend, but I consider her mine. But Andy Anderson is a co-owner. And you've heard this word, and I want you to write this down, because right now, get on your phone, get on your iPad, whatever, and type in AVAIYA, AVAIYA University.com, and it will kick up to you all the different workshops and master classes. And with her and her partner, Ike Allen, she is the creator of AVAIYA University, and over 1,000 different books, films, courses, teachings, master classes, and it just goes on and on and on, but supportive resources. And I would imagine from what I've seen, majority of it's free. I mean, almost everything is free. If you want to document them and download them and keep them, they charge a very nominal fee, but most of this stuff is free. And they range from topics. So listen to these topics: overcoming depression and loneliness, breaking free from codependency, healing from childhood trauma, breaking free from abandonment and betrayal, and so many more. She's passionate about helping people break away from past traumas so they can live an extraordinary life of self-love, freedom, playful exploration, and healthy relationships. And it is my thrill and privilege to have with us tonight, Andy Anderson. Andy, welcome to the program. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you. Thank you, Gregory. And I definitely consider you a friend.
Appreciate that. Thank you very much. I need all the friends I can get. So tell me from your perspective, number one, how long has AVAIYA University been around? And where in the world did you and Ike come up with that idea? Or was it his mastermind or yours? Or you just... how did you come up with that, and what kind of spurred that on?
Oh my goodness, it's a long story, but I'll keep it short. So Ike actually started the company before I even met him. So when he got this was 15-ish years ago now, and he started a documentary film company, and we met, this is like, I think at least 10 and a half years ago now, because we've been together almost that. We met about then, and I ended up joining him in the company, and the company itself has evolved from documentary films and courses and workshops and seminars and live in-person stuff to online things in so many different ways to a media company. And so we do all sorts of different things. Some of the titles that you mentioned are part of our online masterclasses and our online events that you've been part of, Gregory. And I guess I'll kind of get more in depth into how that part of the business started. So the real reason this division of AVAIYA University started was because I struggle with codependency.
Okay.
it's been something I grew up with an alcoholic father, and a lot of people people coming out of like a, you know, abusive childhood in that way, as far as alcoholism goes. A lot of people end up having a lot of codependent tendencies coming out of that. I had a lot of codependent modeling as a child between my parents, and there was a lot of fighting and a lot of great times and also a lot of chaotic times. And so I've struggled with codependency for years and years, and just always like lose myself in relationships. And Ike is amazing. And he is the very first person that opened me up to personal empowerment and really like, you know, moving beyond self-beliefs and limiting beliefs about myself and all those kinds of things. And it was a few years ago, one day when I was really struggling with these codependent tendencies, he's like, why don't you just do an online conference about it? You know, why don't you just talk to a bunch of people so that you get more educated and you get more awareness so it can help you, you know, deal with your own codependency. And, you know, why don't we just let's throw that together. And so that is honestly how this part, like what you call, you know, via university, Gregory, began, is my own struggles, like my own internal personal struggles with codependency. And they had just become so bad that I really needed help. And so I just got to, you know, basically talk to 20, 30, 40 people. And then it just came into one thing after the next. So there was codependency. And then there was, okay, let's talk about abandonment. Man, a lot of people who struggle with codependency also have abandonment issues or betrayal issues. And then there comes right healing from childhood trauma, which you were a part of. And, you know, just on and on and on, we've really tackled some very heavy and intimate topics for people. And along the way, it's been, you know, so amazing for me. And then just grown into something so much bigger than I could ever imagine because of all the different things that we cover. And yeah, that's kind of, I guess, in a nutshell, how it all began, and really with my own personal struggle and being willing to, you know, move beyond it, get help, break the silence, like you talk to everyone about, Gregory, and just start sharing it with the world.
You know, Andy, I think we may get into the personal side of it, but still about the VIA, then we'll drill down maybe after the break or two. But what can people expect if they join one of these master classes? Number one, I know you don't. You're not going to hammer them for credit cards, and you're not going to hammer them for, you know, we want to sell this to you, we want to sell this to you. Because majority of everything is free, right?
Yeah, all of our master classes that we're talking about are totally free. So people, yes, they can purchase them if they want to, but that's totally optional. Yeah, totally free. You can sign up. Like we have an event beginning tomorrow, which Gregory is a part of, called Overcoming Depression and Loneliness. And it includes 40 different speakers, teachers, therapists, doctors, practitioners, all sorts of different amazing experts talking about these two topics. Some of them talking about both of them together, some of them talking about just depression, just loneliness. And yeah, so they can just register. And if, you know, you mentioned before the website is avaya.com. And if they go to that homepage, you can click on the Overcoming Depression and Loneliness button. It'll be right there on the front. And then they can get registered and sign up. And the first classes begin tomorrow. So we release 3 to 5-ish classes every day of the 10-day event. And they can watch all of those classes as many times as they want during that period of time. And really just have a great experience of getting educated on these, you know, really tough topics. So,
you know, I remember watching, I believe it was probably the childhood trauma series, and I literally would watch it, and then I'd watch another one again, and then I'd pause it, and then I'd take notes, and I'd pause it again and take notes. It was like you're literally in, and I love the by university because it's literally like you're being lectured by not only just one person on one topic, but dozens of people on the same topic. How can you come up with 20 to 30 to 40 experts on loneliness and depression, and everybody have a different thing to teach you? Where did you come up with adding the width, the bandwidth of knowledge on one topic? Because if it was me doing it, I'd probably find one or two people and say, oh, let's talk about it, and be exhausted it. But the thing I love about this, every time you watch one, it's a different way of skinning that cat, of looking at that problem of different perspective.
Well, I will say we have a lot of help. So obviously helpful people on our team doing a lot of research to find really amazing speakers to talk about all the topics that we cover. And we love to expand it. We've actually expanded, a lot over the years from maybe 10 people to 20 people to 30 people, because I think it's really important for people to get like so many different perspectives on one topic, so that they can take what they like and leave the rest and not feel like they have to absorb everything, but absorb the things that are interesting, or they just pick the classes that are most interesting to them because it specifically talks about a type of like a modality. Like we have Dr. Richard Schwartz, who talks about internal family systems. And if people are a fan of his work in that kind of modality, then people are going to really want to listen to his classes. If people are a fan of you, then they're really going to listen to your classes, those kinds of things. We have people from the somatic experiencing, Peter Levine's organization. We always have faculty from his organization speaking on most of our events. And so if anyone's interested in taking a look at things like depression and loneliness from a trauma point of view and somatic experiencing point of view, then those people are going to want to, really dive into those classes. So yeah, I think it's just nice for people to get many different perspectives on a topic.
And, I always like to look at it, and maybe I look at things strange. Well, I know I do. But, I always try to put everything through that coffee filter. And when you run that hot water through that coffee filter, you have to get rid of the grounds and just throw that stuff away. Okay, that's stuff that I'm not going to do anything with. Some people fertilize their plants with it or whatever. Most people just throw it away. I think that's the way it is with these classes. There's so much that good comes through. But if it's something like, hey, wait, okay, I'll listen to it, but okay, I'm not going to, you don't have to take, there's just so much volume of wisdom that every class I've ever listened to, it was always, even though it may not have been a topic that addressed to me, they say, hey, wait, that's a gold nugget in the middle of all that. And I want to remember that and write that down. And I love also, and knowing you in the way that your expectations of me as a presenter, okay, what are you going to give free to them? What are we going to offer to them? What are we going to do with an ebook or something of an info page or something? So you go through and listen to these guys and these women, these professionals, and then at the end of it, you always say, okay, now hit that button underneath and you're going to get a free this or information about this. And I just love that you really twist my arm to force me to create something that I can offer, because it's a tool that I end up using for the rest of my speaking days. I use that Hope for the Holidays. I use the child abuse one that I gave all the time now. And you kind of encouraged me to do that for your program. So I appreciate that.
I'm always willing to twist your arm.
what's some... on this one coming up, let's talk about the one that starts tomorrow. Do you know the three people that are the first people out of the chute?
Yes, we have Dr. Richard Schwartz, who I just mentioned, internal family systems. We have Dr. Joan Borisenko and Sharon Martin. So we've got people talking about, I can pull up the page so I can actually see what everybody's talking about starting off tomorrow. Transforming depression with internal family systems. Joan Borisenko talks about out of the rabbit hole into the light, a five-fold path. And then Sharon dives into specifically help for the holidays, because obviously this is happening. You just mentioned, right? Like, and we so many of us struggle with the holidays or have depression, regardless of COVID happening or not, right? A lot of people have issues during the holidays. So she's diving into how to manage feelings, set boundaries, and stay connected. So we have a few different presenters talking about that. And then later in the program, your class will air also. So we get to hear your wisdom. And you talk about such amazing things in there, warning signs, for people to look out for as it relates to depression and loneliness. And one of the things that I love that you talked about, Gregory, is if you start noticing that you're angry, right, that can be a warning sign. And I think that's so key right now, especially with what's going on in the world. I think there's such a palpable anger going on in our world. I mean, we're going through so much, right? So many of us are going through so much trauma and chaos with the pandemic let alone holiday stress or, you know, the situations of people not being able to be with loved ones when they want to, or maybe they are with loved ones that they don't want to be with. It just depends on the situation. But yeah, lots of great stuff. So
I agree. And we're going to take our first break. But before we do, I want you to get on this. It's Avaya.com. And you can just see all the different programs that they offer right there. So when we take our commercial break, you can listen to that, but type it on your phone right now, Avaya.com, and just join. It's the first one right here, Overcoming Depression and Loneliness. And you hit that, and it's going to be able to say, hey, give us your name, your email, watch for free. It's right there. It's that easy. And then you immediately get a personalized letter, email from Andy. It's just say, hey, this is what's happening. This is when it's happening. So we take our first commercial break right now. Everybody get on Avaya.com and join this, because I promise you, some people are dealing with loneliness and depression right now in your body, and someone maybe possibly in your family that you don't realize that's what it is. And this is a perfect thing for a perfect time of the year, for a perfect situation that our country's going through and a lot of people dealing with. And I think this topic is absolutely awesome, Andy, that you picked that for this time right now. So do that. We're going to take our first commercial break, and we're right back with Andy Anderson, some more about this wonderful Avaya University. Be right back. This couldn't be coming at a better time. Have you ever felt like you were just trapped and couldn't find your way out of darkness? Have you ever felt like you were drowning and fighting to find your next breath? Well, coming in 2020 will be the second of a three-part trilogy, my new book, Overcoming the Darkness, The Roadmap to Hope. This new book will provide you a step-by-step approach of how to reach that destination, that important destination called hope. Now, two additional resources are going to be made available when this book is released. One, The Map to Hope. It'll be a handy guide that you can carry around with you, put in your briefcase or put in your purse. And this guide is going to help you find your way when you're stuck in life looking and searching for hope. And then the other resource, the Overcoming the Darkness Companion Journal. I have always believed that journaling is the first step to finding real healing and hope in your life. And this journal will guide you down that path. I'm excited about these resources and this new book that's going to be released in 2020, the Summer of Hope. Now back to the next segment of Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams right here on BBS Radio. Welcome back. And it's good to have Andy with us from North Carolina and with Avaya University. And I hope everybody went online. And if not, write that down. And you'll want to do that before the night's out. I promise you that. 888-627-6008. We would love for having you to call in with a comment or a question, and on any topic that you want to, because that's one thing I love about Andy, is that all those books behind her, she knows everything in every one of those books. Andy, if you had to pick the one book that's changed your life, that's on the bookcases behind you the most, what would it be? What one? Wow. Wait, I would not want to get rid of that one.
That is a which one?
What? Which one?
Hang
which
on, one hold, on hold on. Let me look.
Okay.
That's such a impact. Good question. My God, to pick one? My goodness. Oh, this is so hard. This is so hard. I have one about adult children of alcoholics, which is probably one of my faves, because I mentioned a little bit earlier, that's kind of how I got started in doing a lot of the the types of masterclasses that we put out at Avaya University, because I had have and still continue to work through issues related to growing up in an alcoholic family, you know, the trauma that I witnessed and went through in the different ways that my brain was wired as a child, the way I saw relationships, you know, all those different kinds of things. And I think that that's probably one that's one of my favorites because of that. And I think it's just so important for people, you know, watching or listening right now, that, you know, I love the title of your show, Gregory, because it's all about breaking the silence and no longer feeling like you need to keep that stuff to yourself. I mean, you can, but I think it's really helpful for people when you start to share about it, when you start to share about what you went through. Obviously, that's what you do, right? You travel around the world talking about your experience, Gregory, and just how we can help other people realize that they're not alone. You know, similarly to the depression and loneliness event, I just want people to know they're not alone. I mean, whether you've struggled with depression, loneliness prior to what's been going on in our world in the last 6 months, more than likely, most people could agree they've maybe experienced a little bit of depression or loneliness because of this. And it's, I think there's still such a stigma to mental health and trauma and struggles and all that kind of stuff. And me being a recovering perfectionist, I well know that it's so easy to just try to pretend that everything's okay all the time, 100%, and like that. And it doesn't get us anywhere, right? Because then we're not being authentic and we're not sharing what's really there for us, or what struggles we have gone through, or the ways that we're not perfect, right? The ways that we're, you know, we have limitations that we're working through in our mind. So yeah, I would just, you know, have people really, really consider that in themselves and recognize that their stories and whatever they went through can help other people as well.
With the situation that you went through, because I know we have a lot of people that have been chemically dependent, alcohol dependent, people that had the abuse of that, grew up in it, or actually went through it themselves. What's probably for your life, and for all the wisdom that you've heard from all these different professionals for the years that you and I have done this, which is a wonderful work that you've provided the world. What's the best piece of advice that probably helped you heal or deal with what you went through the most? What would that be like? Oh, man, when I learned that, it was a turning point for me.
Honestly, I think it's really reparenting. When I started to learn about a tool, which it's not just one tool, it could be many different tools. I also teach a tool as it relates to reparenting for people who are struggling with past traumas, you know, codependent issues, those kinds of things, issues in relationships. And I think any kind of tool that helps you get back into touch with your inner child, so to speak, or that you know, that kid inside of you at all the different ages you were at that was going through the different things that you were going through that then come into your future, right? And maybe you think you're having a fight with your husband or your wife, but you're really back in the past, right? Having a fight with your parent or something. Those are the kinds of things that I think it's just so powerful. When I started to learn about that, when I started to realize that it was my responsibility as an adult to now have a relationship with that child, the inside of me, you know, to start to be a loving parent to her and to hold her hand and you know, console her when she was upset. And so when those things come up that are really coming up from a place of my 5-year-old self, right, I know now how to handle them. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm afraid of abandonment in this moment. Like, that's one of my biggest struggles is abandonment. Hence another one of the events we did on abandonment that people can, you know, tune into free also. Yeah, like when that gets so raw and so palpable in my life, I go to this tool of going back and being with that little girl who's really rearing her head. You know, that's what's happening. It's all these past parts of me inside of me that are, you know, coming back to, you know, say, hey, we're not done yet. You know, we never got this resolved. We need to be loved and cared for and accepted, right, for the feelings that weren't validated back then. So that I would say is
you call that reparenting is the what
that's it. That is a term. Yeah. It's basically becoming your, it's becoming your own parent. And not to say that everyone has had, you know, horrible in any way, shape or form. I had amazing parents and we also had some struggles, you know, with alcoholism and codependency. But yeah, there are many different people at Avaya University that talk about reparenting, that talk about how can you, again, like take responsibility for your own validation, take responsibility for your own development of self-esteem and confidence and security and those kinds of things so that you can really, it's like a form of growing up. It's like, okay, hold on. There's these parts of me that just never grew up, you know, never were stable enough and developed so many coping mechanisms throughout life that I never really came into my own. I never really became the real me or the authentic me because I had so many layers of fear and anxiety and things, you know, piled on top of the real me, if that makes sense. So yeah. Well,
now, Andy, it may be because I love how this works. I believe it was on one of your guests, and I'm missing her last name, but her first name is Michelle, and she talks about the adult chair.
Michelle Chalfant. Yes,
and she was on the show, and I had to get her back. I've been trying to get her back, but she keeps. I know she's busy, but she talked about this. Is that the same type of thing? That making sure you put yourself in that chair at that moment, that age at that moment. And that was so powerful. So that's kind of what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's funny because I remember Michelle, it's funny, Michelle Chalfant, if you're watching or listening right now, we love you. And she actually, I remember, reached out to me after she watched you and I have our first conversation together around healing from childhood trauma. And she wanted to have you on her show. I remember that. So
I was on her show, then she was on mine. And I want her back. So because that's, and I think to hear it, but to hear it from somebody that has it in a different perspective, but it's like you're saying the same thing, but different words and terminology. But it's like, wow, now that I've talked to and become friends with people that have gone through the chemical dependency, the alcohol dependency, it's like, yeah, there are some pieces of your life that you haven't went back and dealt with. And that's powerful that that's important to you and your recovery and your healing.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of people, whether you grew up with an alcoholic parent or not, or, you know, anything, child abuse in any way, shape or form, or emotional abuse or bullying. I mean, anything. It could be nothing to do with your parents. It could be you got bullied on the schoolyard, you know, and you have some stuff to work through around your confidence and insecurity and things like that. Loneliness. A lot of people who struggle with loneliness as an adult maybe had issues as a child, you know, making friends and suffered a lot of, you know, issues with insecurity and low self-esteem. So yeah. Going back to those places, going back to those times and really being willing to be with that part of yourself that's still struggling with that, and just be loving and compassionate and, you know, and be there for yourself. That's really like what it's all about, is learning to be there for yourself. Because I think so many people, if you don't learn to be there for yourself, no matter what you're struggling with, I think we're always going to try to either get it from somebody else outside of us, whether that's a romantic partnership or friendships or whatever, or just isolate from people and be alone and never be vulnerable and try not to ever have relationships. There's a lot of people that go that route too. So I think it's really important that people learn how to have a relationship with themselves and really start to cultivate that, again, that like loving parent, so to speak. The best friend, you know, you've never had is yourself, and be able to help yourself through all that.
Do you find, because you're hitting some open nerves in me, do you find that it's easier to have relationships with other people than it is to have relationship with yourself?
Do I find it easier to have relationship? Sometimes for sure. That would be like the more like codependent side of me that wants to like lose my identity in other people. And this is something that I've done for years, and like every romantic partnership and friendships and all that kind of stuff. Because of the stuff that I didn't deal with from my childhood, I felt like, okay, what I need to do is just please everyone around me and forget about, you know, like what I really want. Don't even actually really consider what I want. So I would say yes, to answer your question. Yeah, there are times when I think it is much easier to have relationships with others than myself. However, I don't think that one thing that I get is that if I or other people don't eventually harness a relationship with themselves, those relationships also might suffer, or they might not be as intimate, or they may never be intimate, because it's really challenging to be intimate. And this is beyond like romantic partnerships. This could be intimacy with a child, with a friend or what have you. It's I think, a very challenging to be intimate with anyone else if you can't go inward and be intimate with yourself.
Wow. There's a lot of meat on that bone.
There is. Yeah.
You know, I find in my world that it's so much easier for me to buffalo everybody else, that everything's just great with me, whistle down the hallway and then go into an office. And I immediately go, okay, now this is really me. And then somebody walked by, hey, how you doing? You know, and then you go back into that stage, because I can manipulate who I want them to perceive me as. But for me to have a relationship with myself, it took me, I'm just now, the last couple of years, learning who I am. And I'm not as bad as I thought I was, because for all those years, I was told that I was nothing. I was trash. I was worthless. And, you know, you're only good for certain things, and that was to do certain things to certain people. And now I find that when I'm honest, you either like me or you don't. And I'm okay if you don't. We can still have coffee. But I have to like me. And that was a huge bridge I had to cross. And sometimes I jump back on the other side. I still battle with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's a moment-to-moment thing for so many of us. I, at least in my experience, like, I am a work in progress. And it is never like, oh, I fixed that and that's all. Everything's done and wrapped in a bow. No, it's just, it's moment-to-moment. It's breakdown, breakthrough. It's have a good day, have a bad day. It's never this... the perfectionist in me would love it to be this perfect, you know, like uphill, right? Like up the ladder, but it just doesn't work that way. I don't think that's life.
So you said the word that I drag with me throughout my day, perfectionism. What does that mean to you in your world? Because I am a perfectionist. I've tried to break out of that, but I'm the type of person that goes into the same restaurant, orders the same meal every time and never change. And I do that, you know, and those kind of things, OCD and all of that stuff. How does perfectionism come in and kind of rattle your cage a little bit?
For the most part, I one of my core beliefs that I've uncovered about myself over the years is that if I make a mistake, people will leave me.
Oh.
So hence the perfectionism. So I'm afraid to make mistakes. So when I'm in that mindset, I don't want to make a mistake, because I believe, and I think this has something, I don't know exactly when it showed up in childhood, but has something to do with when my parents got divorced and then I felt abandoned, and that was that original like abandonment wound. So when I'm not aware of that belief running in the background, I am trying to do everything perfect. And that is also just like you said, Gregory, right? Like I could be not feeling happy inside, but I'm going to make sure that everyone else thinks I'm happy. Right? Like, yeah. I'm going to have a smile on my face, and I'm going to pretend, and I'm not going to be vulnerable. I'm not going to share what's going on in those moments. And then the thing that I get is, it's first of all, it's exhausting. It's so exhausting to like, right, be a human, right? A thing designed to like have mistakes and then try again, and to try to be something like I'm not, and try to, and anyone watching or listening who has that, I mean, man, I understand. It's so exhausting. And there is another way. There is another way to not live like that. And I think the more we open up and talk about it, just like right now, I think the better, because, you know, I was actually walking with a friend on the beach the other day, and it's still hard for me. It's still hard for me to be vulnerable, even with friends. Like I want to pretend like everything's okay all the time. That's that perfectionistic thing. Whereas when I was like, finally, like, I'm just going to tell her what's going on. I'm like, you know what? I'm having a rough time. Like, this whole pandemic thing, it's getting to me. And I just, oh God, Groundhog Day. This is just so frustrating. And I'm just lonely and I'm depressed and I'm sad and I'm all these things. And oh my God, it felt so much better to just tell her that, because then it was like, then I felt more connected to her because she talked to me about it and I didn't feel alone in it anymore. So I think that's, you know, such an important thing for all of us to recognize, is once we open up, at least in my experience, like that's where like better, you know, much more intimate connections can happen.
Yeah, that's awesome. I tell you what, we're going to take our last break. 888-627-6008. I believe it looks like we may have a question or two, or at least a comment or two. I'll talk to Curtis at the commercial. And if you want to call in, 888-627-6008. On the other side of this, Andy, I want to talk to you a little bit about, as we go into Thanksgiving week, what is your take on gratitude? What is your take on finding a positive attitude in the middle of what's going on around our world right now? How important is that mindfulness of positivity? And what's some of the ways that you reach that even when the dark clouds are around? How do you find that ray of sunshine in the middle of a dark day? So we're going to talk about that on the other side of our last commercial break. We're back for the last final segment for Breaking the Silence with Andy Anderson. Be right back.
From HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
Welcome back. And we only have a few minutes left, but it's just wonderful to have Andy Anderson with us tonight. You know, one of the things I really appreciate about Avaya and what you're doing, Andy, is I think it was y'all that before you would take my point of view or whatever, you made sure that I signed an agreement with you that I would understand and be open-minded to all the other opinions that were on the program. Didn't mean I had to take them all in and practice them, but that I was going to be, you know, absolutely, we're all on equal ground. Tell me where'd that come from? Because there were some things I've learned from some of your speakers. It's like, wait, I never went off into that arena before. But after listening, it's like, I may try that. Why is that important to you?
Yeah, I think you're referring to probably one of our partnership statements, which is, I think maybe like slightly different than what you said, but we are just 100% committed to inclusivity, and that we want to include anyone and everyone who, you know, wants to be a part of what we're doing and also accepts the other people. So like, I think what you're referring to is probably something related to like LGBTQ. That's really important to us. We want to make sure that people aren't excluded and you know, discriminated against in any way, shape or form. So that might be part of it, what you're talking about, but also, we all have different takes. We all have different, experiences. There might be, again, this modality, that modality. Some people might, you know, want to take a yoga class and that might help them through trauma. Other people might be like, no, that's so not for me. And I want to go, you know, do this somatic experiencing over here. I want to try some other kind of modality. So I'm not sure if I totally answered your question, but I think that was in reference to what we had sent you.
Yeah, I think I was taking it. Yeah, exactly. I mean, like yoga. I think for the last time we talked, you mentioned how important yoga was to you. Now, that's not my cup of tea, but I'm not going to knock anybody that it works for you. And I think that was something that I thought was really neat that you said, hey, wait, you know, you're going to keep an open mind. We're going to include everybody's thoughts. And matter of fact, when I sent out the email to everybody, it's like, hey, wait, this doesn't mean you have to believe everything. Go through the grounds again, if it's against whatever you, but it just sometimes good, like mindfulness. I haven't ever heard of mindfulness, and I never even thought of mindfulness until somebody mentioned it. I said, Greg, what do you think about mindfulness? What are we talking about? My mind's there, but it's not good half the time. What are you talking about? And then I went out and bought, I think, like 11 different books by everybody on mindfulness and started reading. Like, wait, this is good stuff. This is what sometimes I'm missing on. And I think sometimes we narrow my, you know, if I only believe what I was taught as a child, I would be believing some pretty crazy things. And I think every now and then we need to expand to other people's ideas. And I love that you have all these different people with different perspectives. Mm-hmm. It enlarges our wisdom, and you can't stop learning.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kurt, are you on tonight? Kurt is my son. There is a
question. I'm here.
Where are you?
Can you hear me?
Why?
Doing good. Right, the show sounds great so far. We have a question from David Dooley. He's one of our biggest followers. Yeah. And his question is, Dr. Vincent Pelletti, he's the co-author of the ACE study. He has repeatedly called for a new kind of parenting education to prevent the ACEs associated with unsupportive and harmful parenting. What is your views and opinions on that?
We've both probably been affected by that. Andy, what's your opinion on how parents need to receive training on how to be better parents?
Man, I honestly have no idea where to, like, you know, even begin, because obviously it's a big task to tackle, right, every single parent in the world and trying to help them be better parents. But I think, obviously, awareness of the ACEs studies, awareness of what kinds of impacts, even like, you know, smaller T traumas and all sorts of things have on children as adults. I think that would be probably my biggest recommendation, is just awareness. I think people don't even have the language in so many ways for emotional intelligence. For, I think one of the big things, like we've been talking about throughout this, is validation and being willing to, right, validate ourselves for our feelings. And I think if children don't get that at young ages, I know that was not your experience, Gregory, right? Like, think about how many children grew up and are adults now that their parents never said it was okay for them to feel sad, or okay for them to be angry, or okay for them to feel anything. Like, feelings weren't talked about. So I think probably one of the biggest things would be education around how to talk to your children about feelings. But the thing is with that is, of course, the parent also has to be willing to talk about their feelings and be in touch with their feelings. So I think it's probably in also education for children in schools. I mean, I think there's a lot we can do there, because we can't always educate the parent to be a certain way, but I think we can definitely do a lot through teachers who can help children understand and have emotional intelligence and start to recognize, you know, feelings and emotions that come up in them and what they can do about it and how they can manage themselves and regulate themselves, those kinds of things, and just have people to talk to. I think they all need, whether it's a parent or a guidance counselor or, you know, a big brother, big sister, who knows, but someone to talk to about how they feel. I think that's crucial.
You know, I think growing up, I would have embraced my mom or dad to sit down with me and go, hey, are you having a rough day? And that never happened. But I think another major thing that would have made an impact on me is if my mom or dad would have said, you know, I screwed up today, son. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said it that way. I shouldn't have thrown that remote across the room. I shouldn't have punched through the door with my fist. You know, I have bad days too. And I never had that kind of connection. It was always a more of a dictatorship and an oversight of do this, do this, do this, do this. And there was no one to be able to help me buffer my emotions. I had to do that on my own, and I did it wrong. So I just stuffed them. And
that's what most people do, right? If you have no other right outlet, if you don't have any education or knowledge around it, how would you know to do anything other than that? I think so many of us just stuff things because that's the way we survive. You know, if that's how we survive, then that's how we're going to survive.
So if there's a 12-year-old, 13, 14-year-old boy or girl listening tonight that feels like they're alone, how do they regulate what they're going through? From all the wisdom that you've heard from all the different doctors and therapists and social workers and teachers and everybody that's on your university staff, what would you tell them? Hey, this is how to do it. This is how to get through to deal with that emotion that you're handling alone in your room. What would your recommendation be?
Honestly, I have a really hard time answering that because I honestly don't feel qualified to tell a child necessarily what to do because that's not my background. That's not my forte or my expertise or anything. I can say from the perspective of an adult, there's many different ways. One of my favorite ways to, you know, regulate is really just breathe, you know, take a breather. Just how can you take a step back and attempt to calm yourself, you know? And what I was sharing with you before about that reparenting exercise, that's really something that I do anytime I feel like I need to regulate. It's like, okay, I like start talking to yourself in a loving way. Okay, Andy, wow, got it. I totally get that you're afraid right now, or you're feeling sad, or you're feeling lonely or depressed, or you're anxious, or you're fearful, or whatever it is that I'm feeling. And just like talk yourself through it, talk yourself through that emotion, and let yourself know that it's okay to feel that way, and allowing yourself to feel it. And again, I am so not an expert in what to tell a child. So I don't want that to be my advice for the child. I will leave that to the therapists and the experts to decide.
Well, I tell you, we only have about 3 minutes left. Thanks, Curtis. I appreciate you sharing that one with me and with us tonight. I appreciate you, son. With what's going on in the world right now, and you have an awesome series that's getting ready to start, I think in February, which is January, February, on anxiety and fear.
Yes.
So I'll just take this straight to you since, you know, we're going to deal this within about 1 minute. What is your big anxiety release, sir, for you that you use when you feel everything building up and you're ready to go, okay, that's it, I'm done? How do you cope? What's one of the great coping skills that you would recommend?
Similar to what I've described already, like really that like kind of self-validation, reparenting kind of exercise, but to do something different, since we already talked about that, I really just start to ask myself, like if I'm in a state of anxiety and worry, it's usually because I'm telling myself something, like I'm like a worry thought, let's say, oh my God, what if this happens? Oh my God, I'm catastrophizing or something. It's really a matter of like mindfulness, like you talked about, right? Like catching yourself in that moment of the thought and asking yourself, hold on a second, am I actually in reality right now, or am I in my imagination, right? And 99% of the time, especially if you're feeling anxious, you're probably in your imagination. You're probably like thinking about something might happen and trying to, you know, it's really a control mechanism. It's a control coping mechanism to like being predicting the future. So catch yourself in the moment, catch yourself like, hold on a second. I'm driving down the road and all of a sudden I'm worried that I'm going to be abandoned by my whole family. And then I'm like, hold on, wait a second. I'm catching myself. I'm actually in my imagination. And what's happening right now is I'm just driving down the road and there's the beach over there and there's some houses over there, and just like re-presence yourself to what's actually going on as opposed to what's in your head.
Fantastic. Good wisdom. I'll tell you what, Andy, it was great having you with us tonight. And I highly recommend right now that you get online and look up Avaya University and find it online and avaya.com. Log in to that free master class that's going to start tomorrow morning, what, around 9 o'clock? Something like that will be rolling out?
Yep.
And if you want to get a hold of Andy, you can catch her right on that webpage, and you can contact her through that. And I appreciate you being with us tonight, Andy, and I can't wait to watch all of these. The three tomorrow, I'm going to be right there watching every one of them live as they are taped across and just played on your site. And I appreciate you being with us tonight. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Gregory. It's awesome to see you as always.
And I always tell you, anytime you need me to come and do anything for you, I am in your corner, and I will do it at the drop of a hat, because I think the last time was, hey, can you do this tomorrow? It's like, absolutely, anything for you.
It was the drop of the hat. There it was.
I promise you, Andy, thank you so much. And it's like we always do, we want to always tell you that no matter what you're going through in your life right now, no matter what you have heading into tomorrow, no matter what's happened to you in the past, there's always hope. There's always hope. And let's throw another little tidbit of advice before we leave. There's always something to be grateful for. So always remember that. Join us right here next week for another edition of Breaking the Silence. Next week, we're going to have the Lifehouse for Life folks with us, and you won't want to miss that. Have a great Thanksgiving week. Be right here Sunday night live from Houston, Texas, for another edition of Breaking the Silence. God bless. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1, for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.